Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dr. Lewis Evans tells of a young man coming up to him on a state university campus and saying, "I am sick and tired of being a rebel against everything and everyone. Self-expression. I am sick and tired of expressing myself. I came to ask you, sir, if you knew of anyone or anything worth dying for." There you have it. The absolute sickness with the insipid freedom which leads to a dead end, or at least a cul-de-sac. On the contrary, a search for something worth living for and something worth dying for. St. Paul and Barnabas had found it. Listen to the words of our text just read. "It has seemed good to us in assembly to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ." A seemingly incidental phrase. Men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how pregnant with meaning. The words could literally be translated, men who have given up their lives for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect participle indicating that the past action continues in the present. Men who have given up their lives for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. They continued to give up their lives until Nero's steel flashed in the sun. And St. Paul entered into a new relationship with his Lord Jesus Christ, living in his very presence. But this sacrifice is not unique to the apostolic age. It is true many centuries before the coming of the Savior, when three holy children stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, refusing to bow down before his image in the plains of Dura. This is what they said to the king: "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden image which you have set up." Notice the words, "but if not." They realized that it was possible that God might not spare them from that burning fiery furnace, but nonetheless, they would not commit idolatry. It is true of the noblest of the reformers, who, though he put his life in jeopardy, felt conscience bound to say, "Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God. Amen." And does that dedication speak today? Does it not continue today? Certainly it does. If I could go up and down the aisles of this chapel today, if I could ask you the story of your lives, I would hear some magnificent things, the way you have set aside your careers, your fortune, lucrative positions, lawyers, engineers, careers in radio and television, education, and the like. And among the faculty, we could pick out men who have said farewell to their wives and families, thousands of miles away from home, have dedicated their lives to the work of God here at the seminary. Men who have given up prestige and position, vast financial resources to serve the Lord Jesus Christ right here. None of you asking for any fanfare. None of you asking for any credit of any kind. willingly having given up the best of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. What motivated an Apostle Paul, a Barnabas, to do this? What still motivates a man, a woman, to do such a seemingly foolish thing? Nothing less than the love of Jesus Christ. We have found something to live for, something to die for, because one came into the world to live and die for us. There was one who entered into this world in order to rescue man from the dire results of sin and rebellion against God. No one coerced him. Yet that one who was God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, willingly divested himself of all the glory he had before the world was. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You and I, my beloved brothers and sisters, have come to see our own helplessness and hopelessness. We were lost in trespasses and sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This wonderful Lord Jesus Christ has lived and died and been raised again for our sins and for our justification. We who deserve nothing but eternal condemnation for our sins hear again and again the blessed Son of God speaking to us in word and sacrament, Son, daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. And now we have something to live for and to die for. The one who brought us to himself in holy baptism enables us to live a daily life of dying to self and sin and shame. In the unforgettable words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. That is the cost of discipleship. What a strange, morbid, seeking the martyr's crown like Ignatius of Antioch, but rather the same dedication of life and being in response to the love of Christ as enunciated by St. Paul. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Rejoin the poet Johann Kepler beneath the cross of Jesus Christ today. We gaze up into the face of the sovereign sufferer of that cross, and we say, O love who once in time was slain, pierced through and through with bitter woe, O love who wrestling thus did gain that we eternal joy might know, O love, I give myself to thee, thine ever, only thine to be. Some may call this death, but we by the grace of God call it life indeed. And under the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, mount God like a sentinel about our hearts and our minds, to faith in Christ Jesus and to life everlasting.